We continue over here. Yeah, okay. So Rabbi Yonason says, Tachas Ishech, the fact, you know, living together as husband and wife, which is the implication of that, he says, is prot, is exclusive to Shomeres Yomim, right? It's exclusive from what? Again, the exclusion is from drinking the Mayim HaMorim. As the Mishnah said, Lo Shosos, right? Neither of these women, either the Aruso or the Shomeres Yomim, drink the Mayim HaMorim. So he asked the question, Otsi Shomeres Yomim, but Otsi is Aruso. Tell me, is it logical that I should exclude the Shomeres Yomim from drinking the Mayim HaMorim and not exclude the Aruso? Talmud Lomar. This is the reason why the Torah says, Asher Tista Isha Tachas Isha. That's why the Pasuk says then, if a woman strays from her husband, literally under her husband, as we said before, Parat La Arusa. This excludes the Arusa. So, the argument seems to be as follows. Each one is stressing a different angle. In the final analysis, they're both going to concur with what the Mishnah has to say, but each one is doing it from his own point of view. One point of view stresses what? The Arusa. The other point of view stresses the Shomeres Yomim. So this is what he's saying at this point. He says, Mar, one of them, right, says Alimole Arusa, right, he stresses, to him literally is more cogent, more powerful, right? In other words, he lays the emphasis upon the Arusa. Why? The Kedusha di Day, because, first of all, in the case of the Arusa, she has already gone through a ceremony. What is the ceremony? Ceremony is that he is betrothed unto himself. And by means of the betrothal, the ceremony of betrothal, so it means that she's no longer free to marry any other person, right? She is his wife, technically. Right. And then, in addition to that, there's another thing, the Soklin al Yodoy, which means that, let's say that she should, after having become a betrothed woman, she then has an affair with a married man, and you have the whole deal that, you know, she's warned by witnesses, and they see her, and they tell him, they tell her, they tell him, and so on, you know, that such conduct would lead to the death penalty. Then in that case, what would be the penalty that would be involved? It would be skillet, in other words, stoning. That's the punishment. As we said many times already since we started learning Sota, the difference between Sota and this is that they've only seen her seclude herself. They didn't see her actually in the action over there, but by secluding herself, remember we had a long time ago, just for a certain amount of time in which it is possible, you know, to have illicit relations, and in that particular case that's already enough, you know, to be to enable the husband, you know, to say that he refuses to pay the ksuba, and the best will enforce that. Unless what? Unless the woman, as we say, goes and she proves her innocence through the going through the ordeal of Sota. Okay? Through drinking the Mayim HaMorim. All right. So, one of them stresses the Arusa because of the fact that, you know, the fact that there is Kiddushin that's already taken place. The husband has received Kiddushin, or is given her Kiddushin, and also that if adultery then occurs under the circumstances that I mentioned, Skila would be the punishment. Umar, but the other authority is Alimalei Shomeres Yomim. He prefers to lay the emphasis upon the Shomeres Yomim. Why? Because the Loi Mechzera Mesira L'Chupa, she doesn't require that she should be handed over literally to a chupa. In other words, she doesn't require technically a formal marriage ceremony. The minute that he has relations with her, that is, you know, the brother-in-law with her, then automatically she, that's it. They live together as husband and wife, okay? For Rabbi Yonason, now Rabbi Yonason, hi ish ish by Odidle, since he bases his business upon what? Tachas Ishech. So what does it do with ish ish? So he needs it for a different drash altogether. Miboyle says, this I need in order, the rabbis, in order to include also among those women who are, lo shosos felodot lots kesuba. In other words, they don't drink the mat ma'urim, nor do they are they entitled to collect the kesuba, right? I add to the following list: Eishes Cheresh, the wife of a man who is deaf and dumb, because technically he can't give her a warning, right? The Eishes Sheita, and the wife of a man who is a little bit sugar, right? Yeah. The Eishes Sheamum, and also the wife of Sheamum. The question is, what exactly is Sheamum over here? Rashi interprets it as Lokui Besimhan Leva. In other words, a person who is afflicted with like melancholy or schizophrenia or something like that. Okay, the Sheita is not quite the same category, you see. There is insanity and insanity, okay? Or if you wish, there is stupidity and insanity. But in any case, these are considered, if the husband is in that particular category, then obviously we cannot force the woman to drink, but nevertheless, because her conduct is such, after all, the final analysis, it's her conduct that brings about this whole business.
But she had to be warned.
Yeah. Yeah, of course.
He wasn't in a position to warn her.
Right, okay. He couldn't warn her, but can a Besdin warn her? You see, this is what we'll discover, that the Besdin does have power to warn. Okay.
He's talking about a man who's deaf, who cannot speak, who's deaf and dumb.
Yeah.
Right? He's talking about a man who is Meshiggy, you like to say. Okay.
Yeah.
So either one of them can't warn her, really.
Correct. Right. This is why what?
So this is being brought to the Beis Din by witnesses.
Right, correct, correct. Absolutely, the Beis Din can act on their behalf. Right. To say, that they don't, don't seclude yourself with some. Right. You'll take a look, going back to the Mishnah that we learned last week, okay? There are various things. But towards the end over there, it says, O Nishtato, or Mishan is Kherish Bala, you see over there? The Elish Abezdin Mekanin Lohen. You see, there's a little chaf over there. That's about 4.5 lines before the end of the Mishnah, okay? Mm-hmm. It says, The Elish Abezdin Mekanin Lohen. Here is a list of people where the Besdin acts by issuing the warning to the woman on their behalf, okay? Mishan is Cheresh Be'alo, right? That the husband became deaf and dumb, as we said, right? And let's see, what is it? Yeah, od nishtato, or he became insane, right? Oh, shehoya chovish beveis asurin, or he was imprisoned. Okay, so in either case, the Besdin can act on behalf of the husband if they notice, a warning has gone out in the community that this woman is not behaving herself properly in the absence of her husband, or in the inability of her husband, to issue a formal declaration of warning. Okay? So this is what we're dealing with. Okay. So that was where Rabbi Yonasan laid the stress, right? And therefore he needed Ishish in order to include the following cases. Rabbi Yoshia. So, okay, good. Rabbi Yonasan based it upon Tachas Ishech, right? So what does Rabbi Yoshia do with the Pasuk? Hi Tachas Ishech Mayavid Lei, right? What is he going to do with it? So the answer is, Miboyle, he needs it for a different drash. And what is the drash? The drash is Lahakish Ish Leisha, the Isha Leish. In order to compare a man to a woman, or a husband to a wife, let's say, which is a better translation, and a wife to a husband. Now the Gemara doesn't discuss at this particular point in what way it is. And Rashi, in his own cute way, he says, we'll get around to it later. But I'm sure you want to know what is it all about. So the answer is, at the very end of the Perek, they speak about what happens in case... We can take a look at it. Okay. Take a look at Chav Zayin Omid Beis, just before the end over there. Okay, beginning with the second line over there. All right. Yeah. Chav Zayin Omid Beis. Okay, do you see it over there? Just before the end of the parak. Yeah. Okay, it says over there, Kachu im hoya chiger, right? If the man, for example, was lame, or gidim, or he had lost a limb, then lo hoya mashke. Then in that particular case, he does not, he cannot, you know, make her drink the mayim hamo'orim. Okay. So, that's one thing. In other words, if the husband has a certain physical infirmity whereby he cannot act, so likewise, it's a comparison between the husband and the wife, right? And then, the next line over there, Ma barabashi yomar, you see it over there? He says, Kishem she'ilemis lehoyisa shosa, just as, for example, a woman who was a mute, she couldn't speak, right? So she cannot drink the mayim ha'orarim, because the pasuk says the omra ha'isha omein, the woman has to say omein, and obviously if she's mute, she can't say it, right? Omein, omein, right? So kach hu, so likewise he, im hoyo ilen, if he too, right? So lo hoyo mashke, he cannot bring about, you know, that she drink the mayim ha'orarim. So this is the comparison between beinish le'isha that they're talking about over here. Okay. And he uses it then, you know, tachas isha, to mean that she has to be like her husband, or the husband has to be like her. Okay. So, third line again, going back to where we are. Okay. Elo tamo dirsive hanikro. So the question is, why do we need these psukim to teach us these things? So he says, holav hochi. If it weren't for the fact that we have whatever interpretation we've interpreted out of the various verses, particularly the two that we mentioned, either Tachas Ishech or Ishish, right? Then we would say as follows. Arusa Shasya. We would say that an Arusa should drink, even though she hasn't yet begun living with the man, but the very fact that she has Kiddushin from the husband, right? And as we said before, she could even be stoned, you know, if she committed adultery under the circumstances, we said. So in that particular case, we would say then that she's like a wife in this respect, so let her drink in order to prove her innocence, right? And yet, what did we say? We said, because of our interpretation of psukim, so we say, no, she's not going to drink the mayim hamorim. The ha ki osa rabi acha barchanino midaromo. And when Rabbi Acha Bar Chanina came from the south, well, from the south, I have to assume that it means that he came from the southern Babylonia.
Babylonia, yeah.
Yeah, because it's not, you know, that he's coming from Eretz Yisrael, because there they always say Kigosa Mimaharova when he came from the west. Okay, so it's not from Eretz Yisrael. We're talking about from southern Babylonia. No. It's southern Babylonia, because there were Jewish communities in southern Babylonia and others that were, you know, in the north and so on, or the central part and so on. So when he came from the south, okay, so also the Isa Masnisubiyode. So he came and he brought a Baraisa. He came with a teaching in his hand. Remember, again, you know, that this was all based upon oral tradition, which is, so he had heard in the Beis Medrash the following oral tradition. Namely, what do we base the fact that, you know, she does not, you know, the Arusa, for example, does not drink? So he says, I have a different pasuk for it. Not what we said before, Tachas Ishech or Ishish and so on, but I have it from Mibaladei Ishech. Torah says, again, in Parsha Sota, you know, if any man has, you know, slept with you, not your husband, Mibaladei Ishech, not your husband, all right? So, he says, "Bishakodmo shchivas baal levoel." This means that if the husband had relations with her prior to the, you know, to the paramour, the lover, right? Then in that particular case, then she is, you know, a married woman, and so on and so forth. But below, not in the case of shekodmo shchivas baal levoel, not in the case of the arusa, where what happened, where obviously before the husband have even begun to have relations with her, somebody else might have had relations with her. So that's why he excludes the fact that, you know, the Arusa does not drink the Mayim HaMa'orim, because the husband has not yet begun sleeping with her. It's as simple as that. Omar Rabbi Bar Chomo. So Rabbi Bar Chomo says, Mashkachas lo, I have a case where this might happen, where Kigon Shebo Leho Orus Beveis Aviha. You know, what would happen, he says, if her fiancé had relations with her already while she was still technically in her father's home? In other words, she had not yet begun living with him, and husband and wife, right?
Okay.
Right. So in that particular case, again, so what happens, you see? Well, the answer is, again, according to the law, nevertheless, you know, she does not drink, right? So he says, the chaboso, like, you know, somewhat similar to this, is Gabi Shemeres Yovan. This is similar business with the Shemeres Yovan. Why? Kigon Shebo Aleha Yovan Beveis Chamiha. Right? What would happen if the brother-in-law had already begun having relations with her while she was still in her in-law's home, technically, okay? In other words, he jumped the gun on her. So to this, they raise an objection. They say, oh, Shemeres Yovim, Karisalo, Ishtamal Yisohi. What are you telling me? I mean, the Yovim went and he had relations with her in, you know, in her in-law's home. The fact is that when, by having relations with her, she's 100% a married woman as far as her status right now.
Question.
Right. The Omar Rav. Yes, yes. Yeah, what is your question, Arthur?
The whole principle of Sada is that the husband becomes jealous and wants her.
Right. He wants her, and also, right.
The owner says relations with her before they're married.
Right.
Who's is he going to want her?
Jealous of himself.
Obviously, you know, he's lost his moral standard, okay?
Yeah, but is he going to want her?
Right, you know, if a president of the United States sleeps promiscuously, I mean, there's a certain amount of moral standard.
There is no comparison.
Right.
We are supposed to be better than all the others.
Right.
Here, the higher, the more privileges you have.
Right. Okay, so at any rate, the objection to including her, she's a married woman already, if he begins sleeping with her, right? So what are we saying, you know? The answer is, she's not a Shomeres Yovim anymore. That's the answer.
It doesn't matter whether he's
right. The minute that he has relations with her, then she's no longer Shomeres Yovim. She's not waiting for him to act. He's already acted already. You see, this is the answer. The Omar Rav Kona, and the Omar Rav, as Rav said, Kona Lechkol. The minute that he has relations with her, then in that case, she is his wife for each and every purpose.
There is. There is, right.
Right. So, you know, as usual, Rav and Shmuel disagree. All right. Shmuel. So the answer is, well, we're bringing, let's say, from the point of view of Shmuel, the Omar who said, Loi kano elin vorm ha'murim ba'pasha. He says, Shmuel holds that the married woman, right? As long as she's a Shomeres Yovam and so on, he says, she's not 100% his wife, except in relation to those things that are mentioned in the Parsha, in the Torah, about the Parsha's Yovama, where we learn over there, you know, that, for example, she has to that she'll have a child, and the child will inherit the dead brother's name and property, presumably, and things like that, and so on. So it's for that. But he feels that she's not 100% the wife, unlike Rav. Okay. So, but this is what I said. I mean, right? Yeah.
How can she have a child from him unless?
Yeah, okay. We're not denying the fact. The question is, I mean, but does that make her fully his wife or not?
Yeah.
So this is the reason why I said before that the Amorim Yevamim feels that there should be also the status of imamah, wherein, you know, they have imamah, right, an agreement where, you know, a ceremony of some sort wherein he takes her as his wife, you know, not some to take her into the bedroom, but she should have a ceremony so that she could feel like other married women, and you know, so that rectifies the problem already for her, right? So at least her reputation is maintained, and she doesn't have to feel inferior to anyone else. Of course, I mean, as we mentioned before, in many cases, you know, a chalitza would dissolve the union altogether, and the chalitza could be, you know, he doesn't like her, but it's by the same token, if she doesn't like him, it's also possible to convince the Beis Din that it's not going to work out, you see.
But then I would say, they took the, even though he was married, he was obligated to...
Oh, yeah, you're right, because bigamy, you know, was, or polygamy, this was not prohibited.
Does his father accept the cheder of Bnei Gershom?
Technically, they do not. But now the Sfardim who are living in Eretz Yisrael have to accept it because it's become the law of the state as well.
How about the Spanish Sfardim?
Same thing, right. Of course, you could also say that in general, I mean, they decided that it's too much of a burden to have more than one wife at the same time.
But technically, it doesn't have to be two wives.
No, but it could be.
It could be.
But the Gemara in Yevamos has a whole list of different relationships whereby
there is no yibum.
Right? Because let's say that he's married to her sister, right? That obviously he cannot take her. I mean, it won't work. You see, okay? So, and you know, besides that, there are plenty of other of relations, the father's side, the mother's side, the brother's side, the sister's side, and so you know, so that they really extended all these prohibited relations up and down and sideways and so on. Okay? All right. That's why your bonus is a tough Gemara.
The mission is tough enough.
The mission is tough, right.
I skip most of it.
Okay. Yeah, okay, yes. Right. So, Lemo Rav, the Omok Rav Yoshua. Now they want to know is, well, maybe we can say that Rav he's following the opinion of Rav Yoshua, namely, that, you know, the ish business, right? Shmuel, the Omok Rav Yonason, and Shmuel likes the opinion that Rav Yonason said, namely, Tachas Ishe. So, Omar Lechov, so Rav could say as follows. Amalachah Rav, right, says, Ano de Amre, yeah, when I make my statements, I feel the Rabbi Yonason. I could be in agreement also with Rabbi Yonason. I don't have to be in agreement only with Rabbi Yoshia. Why? Mida Isrich Kro, if I need a posik, it's miyute niklal de ishtem al yisahi. It's to exclude her from the fact that, you know, she's a woman, that she's married 100%. So that's the reason why I say that in the case of the Shomeres Yovam, she's not yet 100% woman, as long as she has not yet begun living together with him, but she's still, you know, waiting for him to finalize this arrangement, okay? And therefore, what do we say? No drink, right? Okay, Loisho says, but at the same time, she wouldn't collect the Ketubah Ivi, you see. Ushmuel Omar, and Shmuel says, Ana de Amre, he says, I could say, in my opinion, the world would hold good even after the Rabbi Yoshia. Even in accordance with Rabbi Yoshia, in the Isrich Krol, because I need a Pasik in order to add Miklal de Lav Ishtai, to add the fact that, you know, that she is not his wife yet, even though she is, what, an Arusa, right? She's married and yet not married. The love ishtahi klal, in other words, she's not completely his wife. Okay. So now they go into a new inyan. Okay, inyan is overis aldas. Question is, what is overis aldas? The answer is that she sins against the law of Moshe. Aldas Moshe of Israel. Okay. In what way? The answer is that her behavior is very loose. According to one opinion, it's even, let's say, if in a society where women go around with their head covered and she goes with the head uncovered, that's already Overis Haldas.
It's already what?
It's already Overis Haldas. This is a question today, you know, because I don't have to tell you, many women who are 100% Orthodox don't keep their head covered. Others, of course, you know, do cover their hair, okay? So the question is whether those women who go around with head uncovered, are they Overis Hadas or not? So we possibly have too many of them to do it, and from their behavior, you know, they're 100% Orthodox from in every other way, then you cannot accuse them of being Overis Hadas.
This is not an American
sack. Yeah.
It's a European
sack. Right. But at any rate, take a look at the third line of the Rashi over there where he defines what he means by Averis Hadas. You see that? Okay. Averis Hadas says Hadas Yehudis. In other words, she is violating Jewish law. Okay? Right. She'enu tznua. She's not modest. Right? Yotza. She goes out. Rosh Hapruah. She goes out with her head uncovered, so she goes out in the street, right, with her head uncovered. Betova bashuk, and another disgraceful behavior is, and what does she do? She does her knitting outside in the marketplace. In other words, instead of doing her knitting privately at home, she's doing her knitting over there. Why? Umidaberes umkolodim, because by being out in the marketplace and doing the knitting, whoever comes by, any man who comes along, he says, hi, how are you doing?
She wants to be seen.
So that's instead of loose,
right. Because she should be a tznua. She should stay at home, right? And be modest and not talk to men in the marketplace all the time over there. This is the idea, okay? Correct. Right, okay. Okay, and the rest of that statement of Rashi is the Omari says, Piksubis, Gemara says, and Ksubis, the Perek Hamadir, and you know that particular Perek, it says, the Yotza Shalo Piksuba. In other words, what happens? She loses, she forfeits her Ksuba for acting this way. Right, okay. So now.
Who are they referring to here? Are they referring to a married woman or a
Of course they're talking about a married woman. Right.
Well,
so I said it's already a slightly different inyan. Question is only whether the Averis Hadas in this particular case is referring also to where at the same time the husband has warned her not only that she should keep her head covered but that she shouldn't talk to Chaim Yankel over there on the street, and she persists, you know, not in the street,
in
the street wouldn't be so bad yet
but
because
the
people
the
see you what's going on
in a marketplace.
Yeah, right, yeah, but you know that she shouldn't talk to Chaim Yankel quietly in his own home or in the hotel or something like that, you understand, you see. That's already a different problem, and it could be that this is what the relationship is over here. Why it's included at this particular point, okay? So it's not simply a general statement, but also it deals specifically with a woman who, at the same time, you know.
So he wants her once, and then she doesn't do it again, and she still loses her ketubah.
Yeah. Unless what?
She's being
slimy. No.
But.
No.
But.
Unless she changes her behavior.
Well, if she changes her behavior, but
then in that case, then she doesn't lose the ketubah. If she persists that way, you see, that's one thing. But if she changes and becomes a model wife after the warning, then in that case she's not going to listen.
Her husband forgives her and doesn't do anything.
Right. Well, that's going to be a problem. Exactly.
Okay.
All right. So this is what they want to know. It says over here, okay. Iboilahu, right, line 3 again. The question was raised, right? Overis Hadas, if a woman is an Overis Hadas, as we said before, you know, she transgresses against Jewish law and custom. Tzvicha hatzvor lahafsida ksufa. So, why not tzvicha? Does she require warning in order that, so that she's going to lose her ksuba? Or she doesn't even require warning? Why shouldn't she require warning? Because her behavior is such already that she knows she's doing wrong. Okay?
Well.
Okay.
Well,
this is the question. Okay. Mi amrinan, do we say, kevan de overis haldatzi, right? That inasmuch as she is a woman who is transgressing Jewish law, lobaya hasra, then she does not require further warning. You know what? As I said before, maybe if we're talking about you know being secluded with this particular person, right? Because her conduct is such already that you know it's a very suspicious conduct to begin with. You understand? Oh, Dilma, or do we say Tiboyasra? She does require warning from the husband. Why? Dehodraba. Because if she does tshuva, she changes her way of life, then that's it, then she'll change her way of life. So maybe if he warns her adequately, then she will change her attitude. Instead of continuing, you know, to defy him by doing what she wants to do, she'll do tshuva and behave like a Jewish woman is supposed to behave. Okay? So Toshma, come and listen, says Arusa v'shomeres yovam. Right, we said before that the Arusa and the shomeres yovam lo shoses v'leinot l'sksuba. Right, nishtahu de lo shasya. Right, and we said also, and this was what we had right after the beginning of the Gemara, the Gemara's interpretation of the Mishnah. Right, it says that means that they don't drink the mayim havarim, but hakinui maknilo. Nevertheless, the husband has the right to do what? That is the husband. I mean, as I said before, who is the husband? The husband is not the husband yet. He is the husband as far as the Arusa is concerned, okay? But it could be that the Yavim also has the right to warn her too about her behavior, all right? So, Lamai, for what reason? Says, Lav Lav Shira Ksubasa. Obviously, it is in order to cause her to lose her Ksuba. Omar Abayi, I say, loy lo isra love, it's not in order to prohibit, it says lo, lo isra love. This is the way I think we have to understand Abayi. Again, you know, sometimes there's no punctuation here. In other words, Abayi is objecting, he says, no, the purpose is not actually, what is the purpose of the warning? Purpose of the warning, he says, is not, the primary purpose is not to cause her to lose the ksuba. That's the secondary purpose. But what is the primary purpose? Primary purpose is that from the minute that he gives a warning about her behavior, that he's not allowed to live with her anymore. Cannot have any relations with her. Right. Right, absolutely. Yeah, exactly. So, because, you know, if he's going to go through this business, then he's not allowed to have any relations with her until she's finally had a chance to drink the mayim hamorim and so on. Okay, all right. Rav Papa Amar, Rav Papa said, "Lahashkoisa kishehi nesua." The reason is in order to have her to drink once she is a married woman. Kidetanya, as we said, "Ein mekanan laharusa lahashkoisa." Kishahi Arusa. The Besdin cannot do what? The Besdin cannot, you know, give warning to an Arusa that, you know, to force her to drink as long as she's still an Arusa, because an Arusa doesn't do it. Aval Makanan La Arusa La Hashkaisa Kishahi Nesua. But they can do so once she becomes a married woman. Then the Besdin can act and say, you know, that either, you know, you drink the mayim hamaorim, or you lose your ksuba. Okay? Yeah. Right, right, right.
When she's still
but when she's already a married woman.
So why they call her the arusa?
Well, because of the fact that the Mishnah calls her an arusa, okay? But the distinguishing between the fact that as long as she's still an arusa and not married yet, I mean not living together with the guy, then in that case they cannot force her, you know, to
over something which she did while she still was in Arusa, or is this
well, obviously it's during the time that she is in Arusa. Yeah, not once she's a married. Once she's a married woman, it's already a different story. Or maybe a different interpretation might possibly be, I mean, that as long as she's still in Arusa, they can do it. But once the warning was given and she is now a married woman, then they can. But I don't know. I don't think that that's the way we should interpret it. I think we should interpret it the way I originally interpreted it. Omar Rav, Rav says, Toshma says, if you remember, The Mishnah had, okay, let's take a look again at the Mishnah, at the beginning, previous dot, okay? Mishnah over there includes, if you take a look on the Chav Gimel on the base over there at the bottom, okay? It says over there, Almon of the Kohen Godol, Gerusha v'chalusa the Kohen Hedyot, Mamzeres and the Sin of Yisrael, Vas Yisrael, Mamzer, Nosin Lei, Shoyses v'lei Noites Ksufa. Okay? It says over there that if the Kohen Godol married a widow, which of course is what? It's prohibited by the law in the Torah, right? Or a Kohen Hedyot, any other kind of a Kohen, who is not the Kohen Godol, marries either a divorced woman or a woman that had received chalitza, right? Or an ordinary Yisrael who marries a mamzeris, in other words, a woman, you know, who is born out of, I wouldn't say out of wedlock, because that's not a mamzeris, but born out of aroyus, out of a prohibited relationship. Out of a prohibited relationship, she's a mamzeris. Or, even in the Sino, they were not talking about a mamzeris, but we're talking about somebody who's from the, right, the Givonim, right? I mean, that they had a very inferior status as far as Yichus was concerned. They were not supposed to marry a Yisrael, right? Or, turn around the table, Bas Yisrael, a Jewish daughter who marries the mamzer, right, or the sin, right? So in all those cases it says, Lo Shor says, they do not drink the Mayim HaMa'orim, right? Right? Nor do they collect their ksuba, because they've been warned, and therefore they're not allowed to do it. Okay? Well, they were warned. I mean, we're talking, remember, about kinui over here, because this is still Sota.
Oh, you're talking about kinui?
Right, we're still talking about that.
Right.
But anyway, they shouldn't be living together in any case, and they should have been divorced. Okay? All right, so Toshba. So they now cite this, and they say, look, it says Almon of the Kohen Godol, right? A widow married to the Kohen Godol, or a Gerusha v'chalutz of the Kohen Hedyot, right? Or a Mamzeris in the Sin of Yisrael, or Bas Yisrael a Mamzer, for the Nosim, right? We said Loishoises or Loitles, right? They do not drink, Loitles Ksuba, nor do they collect the Ksuba.
You're back with Rabbi now?
Huh? Yeah, they were back in the Gemara once more.
Okay.
But you see, they quoted this Mishnah
point,
okay? So he says, that implies what? He says, Mishtahu de Loishasya, right? The implication is what? That they don't drink the Mayim HaMa'orim, but HaKinui Makdalahu, right? But nevertheless, the husband has the right to do what?
To warn them.
Not to, be hidden with, not to seclude themselves with so-and-so. Well, am I? Why? What reason? Ilios when a love, if it is in order to have them prohibited to him that he's not allowed to live with them as husband and wife, well, that's you on the Kayomen. Look, this is what the Torah says, that to begin with, they should never have lived together as husband and wife, right? Elalav, so the only purpose would be for what? Lahafsidon ksubosim, to cause them to lose the ksuba. Well, it's a little bit after 9 already. I think we'll call a halt at this particular point, and we'll continue from this point next week. Okay? So, alright, tonight is the 28th of January. We are on Chof Hei Amit Aleph and Tractate Sota, and we are now going to continue from where we left off the previous week. Alright. Omar Rav Yehuda ben Discarta. Rav Yehuda from a town called Discarta said as follows. He says, Lola Ostro Leboel Kival. It says, the reason why we have these psukim and so on in the cases that we have just mentioned is for a different purpose. It says, the purpose is really to prohibit her to the man, her paramour, in other words, right, of the man who her lover, just as she's prohibited to the husband. In other words, he's establishing a principle over here that a woman, you know, who commits adultery not only is prohibited to her husband, as we already learned, I mean, because, you know, she can't live together with him anymore, but also she cannot marry at the same time the lover. She's not allowed to, because this is a punishment to him because of the fact, obviously, that you know, he violated the idea of not to commit adultery, so that therefore she cannot marry him either. How does he derive this? Ditnan, he says, we learned. It says, Kishem Shasur LeBaal Kachasur LeBoel, that just as she is prohibited to her husband, so likewise she is prohibited to her lover. Omer Rabbi Chanina Mesura, so Rabbi Chanina of Sura said as follows, it says, Toshba. Let's find out, you know, let's explore the following statement. It's written, the Elu Shebezdin Mekanin Lehen. All right. We learned that there are people for whom the Bezdin is going to give the warning to the woman, because the husband is not in a capacity to warn his wife, you know, not to seclude herself, but the Bezdin has noticed, on the basis of testimony of witnesses, that she is not conducting herself properly, right? So they can issue a warning to her that she's not to seclude herself with the person whom everybody had noticed, you know, that she was too intimate with, okay? So why can't the husband, why doesn't he have the capacity? So they list. Mishnas Cherish Bala. For example, if the husband became deaf and dumb, in other words, he became incapable of personally telling her, you know, not to, all right? So the Bezdin has the right to do it on his behalf. Ol Nishtata. Or let's assume that, you know, the husband has become insane. Okay? He was sane at one time, but now he became insane and he's no longer, no longer has the capacity of warning her. Or another possibility is that he is now a prisoner. He's in prison. Okay? So the Bezdin has the right to give her warning. But he says, it's not for the purpose of having her drink the Mayim Hamaorim, because this cannot be done. After all, he cannot go to Yerushalayim together with her. He's not, mentally capable, or he's not physically capable, or whatever it may be, of going to Yerushalayim with her. So obviously, she cannot drink the Mayim Hamaorim. Elo l'fasal b'kisavasa shmamina, right? But rather, it is in order to cause her to lose her ksubin. In other words, if, you know, she wants to collect on a ksuba, because obviously she would have to be divorced at one time or other since she can't live with him, then in that particular case, her punishment for violating the injunction, you know, not to seclude herself with the man who everybody suspects as being her lover, this is her punishment. Boy Shmamino, from this we learn what? Boy Hasra, that she requires warning. Okay? Shmamino. In other words, you cannot, however, you know, cause her to lose the ksuba unless what? Unless you warn her specifically that her conduct is such that this is going to be the punishment if she does. She's going to lose her monetary rights of the ksuba. The Chuhu Maitama Le Amri Mehob. So the question is, why couldn't all these cases that we mentioned simply be reduced to this, that they would say to her, look, she needs hasra because, you know, that they can't carry it out, and the person has the right to do it. So he says, Dilma, so the answer is perhaps Shadi Hossam. This is a different case. Why? The less law Amos of the Baal Klal. Okay? That she is not afraid of her husband in this case because he's incapacitated, he's in prison, or he's physically unable, and so she figures that, he's in no position to do anything. So that, therefore, this is why the Bezdin now has to assert its authority in order to warn her, you know, not to misbehave. This is the idea. All right, now Ibolu. So the question was raised. Overis aldas. Now we come to the case of a woman who is in transgression of Jewish law and custom. What do we mean by that? So we explained that, for example, she goes around with her hair uncovered, which in ancient days, I don't have to tell you, until recent times, you know, this was considered being immodest. Not talking about today. Today it's already a different problem. This already required questions of modern authorities. Says, what do you do when the majority of women, Jewish women, are going around this way? Does it mean that every single one of them is immodest or not? So they've grappled with that particular problem, decided that it all depends on their conduct as well. It's not simply whether the hair is covered or the hair is not covered. But nevertheless, we know that a woman who is caring about these things, she will keep her hair covered. Whenever she's in public, you know, whenever she's... this we know. This is why Sheitlach were invented, right? And what did they do before Sheitlach? So they would put, a scarf over the head or something in order to cover it.
Yes. If a Jewish woman has a husband who is mentally ill,
right.
Physically impaired.
Yeah. Okay, so now we're talking about the Overis Aldas, which we said is a woman who transgresses the laws of Jewish modesty, okay? Her actions are such that, you know, she has no respect for those things that a Jewish woman, how a Jewish woman is expected to act, okay? It's not just a question whether her head is uncovered or not. I mean, obviously there are other things that go into it. I mean, what if you have, for example, a woman in a home where the husband is religious and he wants his wife, let's say, to keep kosher, to light candles on Shabbos, you know, and things like that, and she refuses to do it. So, to a certain extent, she's also in the same category of being an Overis Aldas. She's transgressing those things that she shouldn't be. Okay. Now, it doesn't mean that automatically, that if she's an Overis Aldas, that automatically the husband divorces her. Of course not. But, you know, you tried to work on her and so on. So now the question is, okay, Overis Aldas, here is a woman who transgresses Jewish law. The Rotzo Ba'al L'Kaimo, right, and the husband wants to keep her as his wife, not to divorce her. So in that case, Mekaimo or Enu Mekaimo, okay? Can he keep her as his wife, or is he not allowed to keep her as his wife? So mi aminun, if we say bikfido de baal tol rachmono, that the decision that the Torah gave, it left it up to the husband. If he feels like it, okay. And if he doesn't feel like it, so, okay, right? The holoi kafid, right? And the husband, if it wasn't important enough to him to divorce his wife. Oh, dilmo, or perhaps we should say, kevon de kafid, right? That, nevertheless, inasmuch as, you know, it bothers him, he wants, so he could do it. The question is, in other words, does he have to give her a divorce if she transgresses Jewish law and she's not behaving the way he wants her to behave? So, the question is then, does the choice ultimately rest only with him? Or, as we'll see in a moment, does the Beis Din enter into the picture at all, in the sense that if they don't like her activity, then in that case, they can act on his behalf? Okay, this is the question. So he says, Toshba. Let's take a look. So example. It says, Eilu Beis Din Kaden Lohem, right? Mishnah says that here is a list of people, right, where the Beis Din itself is going to give a warning in case the woman, was seen misbehaving with another man. Okay? Mishan is Cheresh Balo. And of course, we're repeating the list before that the Mishnah had. namely where the husband suddenly became deaf and dumb, where he could not, express himself or say anything to her, Onishtato, or where the husband became insane, Osho Yechovich Beis Asurin, right, or where he was imprisoned. The E Amrit, and if you say, right, then, and if we say that the rule is that if the husband feels that he wants to keep her, he can keep her. So in that case, Davde Bezdin Nide, the Dilman La Nicha, Lo Nichole Lebal, right? Can we then conclude that the Bezdin have the right to do anything which is contrary to the desires, to the wishes expressed by the husband? Do they have a right to force him to do anything, which he himself doesn't want? So Stama de Milsa, the general rule is Kevon de Overis Aldas, he, inasmuch as she is a person who is already transgressing Jewish law and custom, so Midach Nichale, then in that case, it would seem it's okay for him, to simply let it go if this is the way he feels about it. Right, even though she is, acting contrary to Jewish law. So, Iboilu, that being the case, they ask the following question. Baal shemochal al kinuyei mochal, o eno mochal. What would happen if the husband has already warned her? Remember that this is what kinuy is. He gives her the warning for the bezdin, that she's not to seclude herself with another man, right? So the question is, can he then retract the warning that he gave her? Or is he not allowed to retract the warning that he gave her? So that the warning remains in effect. This is the question that they're all asking. Okay? Mi amrin, do we say, Bikinui de Baal Tolerachmana? If we say that the whole thing depends only upon the desire of the husband, upon his decision, his will. There's all right, Torah Rachmona, that this is what the Torah says. I mean that the Torah says that everything depends upon the will of the husband only. Yeah. So Uval Hamochile, and since the husband literally forgives her, in other words, he retracts on the whole deal, and he forgives her and he says, forget about it, right? Right? Oh, Dilma, or do we say, Kevan, the Kani Lomi Kora, that inasmuch as he has already given her to begin with a warning, then in that case, Lomotsi Machale, then he cannot retract anymore. He cannot literally forgive her, or he cannot anyway, retract the warning that was given to her. So Toshma, listen, says, the Elu Shebezdin Akdin Lehen, right? This is why the Mishnah says that here is a list of people on whose behalf the Bezdin can give the kinui, can give the warning to the woman not to misbehave, right? Mishan is Cheresh Bala, if her husband became deaf and dumb, or Nishtato, he became insane, or Shoya Chovish for Beis Asurin, or he is a prisoner, or he's been put in prison, he's not available. So Ve'i Amrit, and if you say, Baal Shemochal al Kinuye Bochal, right? And if we say that if a husband retracts the warning that he gave her, he says, I cancel it out, right? Then in that case, the warning is retracted, that has no further effect anymore, right? Then, Avdin and Mide de Osu Baal, are we going to do anything where the husband comes and Mochile, right? And he goes and retracts it. So, Stama de Milsa, in general, we have to come to a conclusion, what? That Odom Maskim Odas Bezdin, that what a man does is actually with the permission of the Bezdin. In other words, he automatically is in agreement with the Bezdin's action. What do I mean? The question is not what I mean, but what does the Gemara mean over here? What the Gemara is implying is as follows. If a person ordinarily would have, you know, his senses, as we said before, right? Or he's a free man, he's not in prison or something like that, then, you know, he's a free agent. If he feels that he wants to forgive his wife, he can forgive his wife. Although we'll see that there is some question that they're going to raise a little bit later on about that. May not be 100% the way it looks at this moment. But all of these cases would indicate what? That since the Bezdin is acting on behalf of the man who is incapacitated, so therefore we have to assume that the man who is incapacitated would be in agreement with the action of the Bezdin, right? I mean, you follow me so far. This would be the implication. Well, if that's the case, so Toshma, let's take a look at a further something that we learned some time ago, previously. We learned that the Mosrin lo Shnei Talmidei Chachamim, that if you remember the procedure called that he has to go to the Bezdin, right? And the Bezdin, first of all, has to bring witnesses to begin with. So that if he brings witnesses, you know, that she seems to be in a very compromised situation, right? Then he gives a warning, the Bezdin also gives her a warning, and so on and so forth. All right. Then what happens? She defies the husband's warning, right? And the suspicion is that she went and she committed adultery. So in that case, what is the next procedure? So we learn. He slaps her back to the Bezdin, right? And, he testifies the fact that he feels that she has committed adultery. And at this particular point, he says he wants her to be tested. I mean, of course, if the woman said, you know, that, okay, I did commit adultery, then in that case, he divorces her and she loses her ksuba, that's the end of the situation, okay? But if she insists that she's innocent, then we learn that the next thing is what? She's going to have to go to Yerushalayim together with the husband in order to be tested by the drinking of the Bayim HaMa'orim. And of course, we saw a lot of other things that are connected with that, such as, a plea to her to do tshuva in case she really did sin, and a ceremony prior to that wherein she is degraded by having her hair loosened and her dress torn and things like that, and so on and so forth. And we learned that between the time that the local Bezdin told the husband, you know, to go to Yerushalayim together with his wife, so we also learned that what? That they appointed two Talmidei Chachamim, right? Two scholars to accompany them to Yerushalayim. Okay? And why did these two, scholars? To make sure that there would be no infringement, and particularly what not infringement? That the husband and wife shouldn't sleep together on the road. Remember, that was a concern, okay? All right. So the Mishnah said, the most in law, Shnei Talmidei Chachamim, right? Shemo yavo aleh baderech, in order to make sure that he's not going to have any marital relations with her on the road to Yerushalayim. Now, the Yomer, this is where the Gemara now asks the following question, says, and if you say, Baal shemochal al kinuyei, kinuyei mochul, right? If you say that a husband who retracts the kinui, in other words, the warning given to her, you know, not to seclude herself, right? Then in that case, it's an effective action, and it's like wiping out the whole deal to begin with, right? Then in that case, the chale le kinuye, so let him retract and say, I'm sorry, I really didn't mean to give her all the warning and everything else, right? And I don't want it to be effective anymore. Believe her, and then he can have relations with her, right? So, Maishnod, and in that case, why do we need Talmidei Chachamim? So the answer is the Gemirei, because they know what the law is. What? the iboy lemival, that if he gets the urge to sleep with his wife on the way to Yerushalayim, then amile, hold it, bocher. If this is what you want to do, then achale lekunuyech. Then retract, you know, the warning that you gave her, v'ala, and then you can sleep together with her. Okay? So, Toshma. Hear the following, it says. The Omer Rabbi Yoshio said, Shlosha devorim sochli ze'ira me'anshi v'shalayim. There are three things that a man by the name of Ze'ira, who lived among the important people in Yerushalayim, this is what he told me. Obviously, you know, he heard it from very reliable sources, and so he conveyed the message to Rav Yoshio. Namely, Baal shemochal al kinuyay kinuye mochal, that if a husband retracts, literally, you know, he forgives, right? He retracts the warning that was given to his wife, then in that case, the retraction is valid, right? Zokin Mamre. In the case of the Zokin Mamre, Sherotsu Bezdin Nimcholo Machlin Lo. Alright, so of course we have to define first of all who is the Zokin Mamre. Torah says that if the High Court in Yerushalayim issues a decree, right? And then along comes a scholar who refuses to obey it. And he says, I know better than the Beis Din, and in my opinion, this is this, right? And therefore, of course, that's not enough just to say, you know, I differ in my opinion. But he urges other people, you know, to act in accordance with his decision rather than what? Than the decision of the Beis Din. So in that case, the law is that they have to take him to Yerushalayim. And you know, if he persists in what you know, that he's right and they're wrong, and he defies the Beis Din altogether, then in that particular case, he could be punished with the death penalty. That's the Zokin Mamre. Now, of course, I mean, how often there was ever a case of a Zokin Mamre, I really don't know, because it's not, as I said, just a question of having different ideas. Obviously, everybody is entitled to have different ideas. But the question is, when it comes to practice, what is the normative practice, and what are you doing in order to defy, you see, the other practice? Okay. So, the second statement that he said is that if the Beis Din of Yerushalayim, in other words, the High Court, the Sanhedrin, wishes to forgive him for what he had to say, then in that case they have the authority to do so. That's the second statement. And then the third one is about Sorer Umore Sharotsu Avavim Choloi Murchalin Lo. Okay. And the case of the Bein Sorer Umore. Remember, the case of the Bein Sorer Umore is where you have a boy who defies his father and mother, and he does all kinds of things that are contrary to them. And they have warned him, and they slept into the Beis Din, and he's a drunkard, and he's a glutton, and, you know, as much as they try to tell him, you know, to do what's right, and refuse to do what's right, then what happens? Then they have the right to take him to the Beis Din, right? And if the Beis Din, you know, understands, you know, that he's going to continue to defy everybody, then in that case they have the right to put him to death, okay? Needless to say again, there's another Gemara that says that it never happened in Jewish history. But nevertheless, there are a lot of things which are theoretical in nature, right? So this is a theoretical question. So if it's theoretical about the case of the Beis Din, nevertheless, let's say that the father and mother are ready to forgive him for his behavior. So is it valid? The answer is yes, according to this statement, this tradition of Rabbi Ze'ira from Yerushalayim. Okay? So he came and he quoted these things, right? Ushabosi, and he said that when I came, Eitzel Chavei Raisha Bedorom, when I came to my fellow scholars who were in the southern part of the country, so Al Shnayim Hoduli, then they agreed with me in two of the three things, but the Azokim Mamre Loi Hoduli, they did not agree with me in the case of Zokin Mamre. Now, why didn't they agree that if the Beis Din is willing to forgive him, that, you know, he's forgiven? The answer is, Shelo yarbu machloikis bisisrael, because they want to make sure that there will not increase controversy among Jews in Israel. So important that Jews should have unity and not controversy all the time, that this is the reason why. Shmamino, so from this, what do we learn? We learn from this statement that Baal Shemochal al Kinduyo, Kinduyo Mochal, Shmamino, right? That a husband who wishes to retract the warning that he gave his wife has the right to do so. Plige Bo Ravach Rabina. So, you know, we thought that it's ganz glatt, as we would say, right? That we settled the question, but there's a difference of opinion now between Rav Acha and Rabino concerning this last statement that the husband has the right to be meichel, right? In other words, to forgive or to retract, you know, the warning that he gave his wife. Chad Omar, one of them said, Kodem sisira mochel, la'acha sisira eina mochel. One of them says that if he decides to retract before he gave the official warning to her, that's when he has the right to retract. In other words, he changes his mind before he ever gave any warning to her. This is one opinion, right? But la'achas tira, but after he had already given her official warning before the Bezdin and everything else, then ainu mochel, then he doesn't have the right to do it, right? This is one authority. The Chadomar, the other authority, says la'achas tira dami mochel, that even if he's given her official warning before the Bezdin, you know, that she's not to seclude herself with so-and-so, he could still retract and say, forget about it, okay? So, as we see, this is machlekes. Now, naturally, if it were up to us, we'd probably say that what? That at any time, right? In other words, the last opinion, that as long as he wants to forgive her, he has the right to forgive her, right? This is what it would seem. But the halacha is not following that. Mistabra, it says, the Gemara says, and you know, it's logical that Kemanda Oma Eina Mochel, that the ruling should be that after Stira, the husband does not have the right to retract. I mean, once you go this far, then you have to continue to go ahead with the whole business, okay? Mimai. So the Gemara wants to know why, how come? It says, Mindekor Mahadre Rabbanan the Rabbi Yossi. This we learn from an answer that was given by the rabbis to Rabbi Yossi. In connection with what? The Tanya, we learned, it says. Rabbi Yossi, Oimer, Rabbi Yossi says, Balo Nemon Oleho Mikal Vachemer. Says that the husband is believable concerning whether he's going, you know, that he's not going to have any relations with her on the basis of what? On the basis of a Kal Vachomer. Kal Vachomer always means, you know, that logically you figure it, that it's true in case A, then all the more so it should be true in case B. Now, what is case A? Case A is Uba Nido Shehi Bekores Balo Neman Oleho. Alright. Take the case of a woman who is menstruate, right? She has a period. And in that case, we know that what? If the husband would have relations with her during this particular time, then they are guilty and the punishment would be cursed. In other words, the heavenly court will punish them for this. Okay? So, and in that particular case, nevertheless, Bala Neman Oleho, the husband can be believed that what? That he's not going to have any relations with her during this particular time. Okay? So, and that is, you know, Kores is considered one of the more severe types of penalties. You know, after